Well, this morning we are jumping into a new series as we get ready for this fall time. And we are jumping into a series that we are called Living Legacy. And what we're doing when we jump into this, we're going to be taking a look at the life, kind of the end of the life of Moses today. And then we're going to be studying Joshua as we get ready to read through the book of Joshua a little bit together over the next few weeks. And so we're jumping in this morning. And you know, legacy is something that sometimes you begin to think about in life for a whole lot of reasons. It could be age or illness or having children or grandchildren or whatever it may be. But when we say legacy, what are we talking about? We're going to be interactive today. When we say legacy, what are we talking about? What people remember you by. Okay, that's good. Something that's handed down. Something that's inherited. That's good. Something that you've done. Absolutely. Yeah. As we begin to look at we're going to join in today on the tail end of Moses' life. As a matter of fact, it ends kind of abruptly, and then it makes way for Joshua. But we're going to begin to look at this life of Joshua and the legacy that Moses lives, the purpose that Moses has lived for, and that Joshua gets to be a part of living into the fulfillment of that. And we're going to begin to examine what that looks like. When I think about legacy in my family, growing up especially, but still now today, it was the stories we told that were supposed to shape us into the people that we should be, right? I don't know if y'all's families do that, but when I think about legacy, it wasn't so much for us a financial legacy or things like that. I mean, there's like land down in South Georgia that's a farm, and part of that is a legacy, but you know, it wasn't so much that. It was this teaching of who we should be. I think about the stories of my grandfather who passed several years ago, but we would retell those stories of who my grandfather was, and we would retell stories about hard work and bootstrapping it and making it on your own, right? We would tell stories about generosity to the community and service to the community. We would tell stories about being thrifty and frugal. We would tell stories about paying for cars in cash, right? He would have a I don't owe no man nothing party when he paid off the planting for the year, right? But we would tell stories about kindness to other people and to children and to families, right? We would tell stories about including people who had been excluded in society at the time. We tell these stories that we wanted the people in our lineage, the people, the grandkids specifically, who were listening, we wanted them to grow up and to live like that. Now, no one is perfect. There were probably some other stories we could tell. Not about my grandfather, of course. He was perfect. Good morning, Mama. But I know in each of our lives, there are stories we could tell, just like Moses. Moses wasn't perfect. He doesn't get to go to the promised land. He's credited with the first five books of the Bible, and we have this major transition into the fulfillment of everything that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob had been told to get down to this moment. But Moses doesn't get to go because Moses wasn't perfect either. But Moses was living a legacy that he was given by God, a purpose that drove all of his life for the rest of his life, a purpose bigger than himself that wasn't about himself, and he lived it in such a way that there were people ready to pick it up when he couldn't carry it forward and to become a part of living that legacy in real time, a legacy that has been handed down all the way to you and to me to be a part of here today. You see, we are here because of someone else's legacy. And we mean that as a church, but we also mean that individually. You are living someone else's legacy. Now, you have your own. You have your own purpose, but you have inherited some of the purposes of the people who have come before you, and you are living those here today. And if you want your legacy to live past you, you better be living it now. Because people don't just pick up legacies that you thought in your mind but never lived. They pick up legacies that you invited them into, that you held their hand through, that you talked and you walked and you gave down to them. And that's when there's Joshua's to pick it up. So I have a question for you, and you guys did so awesome last week. I don't know if you remember last week, if you were here, But I asked you, what does this story we were talking about, healing and how that can be a difficult subject? And I asked you a question just simply, what does this story bring up to you? And we talked about Jesus and we talked about lowering the man down through the roof who was paralyzed and on the cot. And Jesus says, forgive you. He forgives him his sins and then says so that everybody else believes, get up and walk, right? And I asked you, what were these questions that you might have? And you came away with some really deep and vulnerable questions. I went home and I was so impressed. And Nikki, I even talked about how impressed we were at the level of vulnerability and openness and willingness to share here in this group. So I'm gonna, no pressure, but I'm gonna ask you another question. What do you want your legacy to be? I'll give you a second to think about. So you've probably heard people say things that seem kind of trite, but they say stuff like, what do you want written on your tombstone? Or you should write your eulogy now so that you can live up to it and you can live in a way that's intentional. We did a life planning class here just a few years ago on Wednesday night, and I really appreciated the two of you that came. But we took every area of our life. And we said, in our finances, what do we want our legacy? What is our purpose? In our marriage, in our relationship with our children, in our career and work, in our community, and in our spiritual life, what do we want our purpose to be? What do we want our legacy to look like? And we wrote out a few sentences for each of those. But if you were going to summarize it right now, thinking about your legacy or just a part of it, what do you want your legacy to be? Yeah, Miss Lori. Actually walking it. Thank you, ma'am. So sharing that it's not something we just want them to know, not something we just want them to have experienced, not to have something that they just came to because you were here, but something that they walked with it. Absolutely. Yes, Chris.
One that our children and grandchildren
would want to follow. Absolutely. A legacy that your children and grandchildren would want to follow. Miss Lori, I heard something interesting the other day. And it was a person in their probably 30s, and they were describing their relationship with God as if it was this kind of relationship of three people. It was him and his mama and God. And he was okay with God as long as his mama was there, but he wasn't going to hang out with God one-on-one. Does that make sense? And I hear you talking about something different. And Chris, you too. Absolutely. What do we want our legacy to be? Ms. Wanda, that you loved this church. Absolutely. Absolutely. And everyone in it. Everyone? Yeah, Ms. Wanda said, yeah, everyone. Absolutely. Yes. That you live the golden rule, that you treated others as you would like to be treated. Absolutely. Yes. A legacy of generosity for your children, and hopefully they continue that on. Absolutely. Was it Miss Darlene, Miss Jackie? Was it one of you? Yeah.
I would like a legacy at home that I can be kind and I was in child of God.
Absolutely. A legacy of being kind and a child of God. I want the rest of you, you may have one and you're just not saying it, and that's okay. I want you to think about this week as we get ready to talk about over the next few weeks what it means to not just have a legacy, but to have that legacy being alive and well before we leave this place. That it's not something that we just leave behind like junk in our house, but that it's something that we live and that we invite people into in this place. Now, we're going to be looking specifically today. We're going to read through and we're going to start in Deuteronomy. And we're going to look in Deuteronomy. We're going to start in chapter 34, and I'm going to share with you verses 1 through 9 today. It says, then Moses, that would be a great name. Then Moses hiked up from the Moabite plains to Mount Nebo, the peak of the Pisgah slope, which faces Jericho. Y'all know where he is now? Good job. Which way is he facing? I'm just kidding. The Lord showed him the whole land, the Gilead region as far as Dan's territory. Dan. All the parts belonging to Naphtali, along with the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, as well as the entirety of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea. Also, the arid southern plain and the plain including the Jericho Valley, Palm City, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to Moses, "This is the land that I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob when I promised I will give it to your descendants. I have shown it to you with your own eyes. However, you will not cross over into it." Then Moses, the Lord's servant, died right there in the land of Moab, according to the Lord's command. The Lord buried him. I'm reading one verse further than I gave Jessica, so it's not her fault. The Lord buried him in a valley in Moabite country across from Beth Peor. Even now, no one knows where Moses' grave is. Moses was 120 years old, and when he died, his eyesight wasn't impaired, and his vigor hadn't diminished a bit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, as I got ready to read this, or as I got thinking about this and was getting ready to talk about it with you today, a few things jumped out to me. Number one, he didn't say, "Moses, this is the legacy that I gave to you." Right? Did you catch that? He said, "This is the legacy that I gave to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob." And I began to think about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and how they didn't quite see that legacy come to life in the way that Moses, who isn't going to see it come to life either, but instead it's going to be Joshua leading the group. Skipping down to verse 9, it says, "Joshua, Nun's son, was filled with wisdom because Moses had placed his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to Joshua, and they did exactly what the Lord commanded Moses." Again, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I've been reading a few other books recently, and one of them that I read is by Viktor Frankl called Man's Search for Meaning. Anybody know the book I'm talking about? Have you read it? He was a Jewish psychiatrist who was taken into the concentration camps during World War II, and he was in Auschwitz. And he had to learn how to survive in the midst of that terror that we now know was going on. And he has a book that he's written, and he writes about half of it is his experience. The second half is the method of caring for others that he developed out of that. And he says there's purpose in life from the experiences that you have, from a work worth creating and living, and then also from suffering. But he has this quote that I want to share with you this morning that I think may resonate for us. "In the past, nothing is irretrievably lost, but rather, on the contrary, everything is irrevocably stored and treasured. To be sure, people tend to see only the stubble fields of transitoriness, but overlook and forget the full granaries of the past." I'm going to translate that a little bit for us. We are a society that worships what is young and what is new, right? And we fight that. And then we begin to fight that when we see it happening, and then we begin to be a people who put the past on a pedestal as if it could do no wrong, right? You hear people say things like, "Well, I'm just old school." You've said it, I've said it. It usually just means we're railing against whatever that new thing is, right? But we have people who will only take the new thing. I mean, if you're searching for something to buy online, the new one is obviously better than the old one, right? Right? You're like, "Well, what about my 52 Chevette? The new ones are better." But anyway. Sometimes we begin to vilify those younger than us or vilify those older than us. But Viktor Frankl has this idea that the young have an unknown future. And if you want to worship that and follow that, that's great. But that those who are older, your past can never be taken away. That it's full of experience and love and kindness and success and failure that you hopefully learn from, or else you're just going to fail at it again. But that the young should envy the older because they have a life that cannot be taken away. You see, sometimes we begin to think, and I got to wonder what Joshua and those who were getting ready to go into the promised land, what if they had thought the purpose of their legacy in life was to simply preserve what was? What if they thought it was to create a museum in the place where Moses had died and to live there and to sustain it exactly the way that Moses had done? They would not have been living Moses' legacy. They would have been creating a new one that served them for whatever reason. Moses wasn't living his own legacy. He was living the one that was given to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob before him. And so we have to ask ourselves, who are the people that have come before us that we are living part of their legacy? And who are the people that we are living that legacy in front of who are going to pick it up and carry it forward? I love this verse 9 where it talks about, let me get it exactly right. Joshua Nun's son was filled with wisdom because Moses had placed his hands on him. Now, there's two ways to see that. One way is to see it as something supernatural happened. Moses placed his hands on Joshua, so Joshua was all of a sudden filled with a spirit that we may not have access to, and then all of a sudden he could go and live with wisdom, and he was a person of wisdom just because Moses touched him. And maybe that's what happened. But I think there's another way we could understand it too. Moses showed Joshua the way. Moses invited Joshua into the legacy that Moses was already living. Moses didn't say, this is what you ought to do, and then did something different. Moses didn't say, when I die, this is what you need to do. No. Moses lived the kingdom in the moment and invited Joshua to live right alongside him. You see, the question for us as a church is not, have we preserved the past? That would be like setting up and worshiping where Moses died. But instead, it's, have we lived up to the legacy we were given? Have we lived up to the legacy we were given? You see, it's easy to think that preserving a building is our purpose. It's easy to think that preserving a memory of the past is our purpose. It's easy to think that just keeping the way the world should be as the way that it was is our purpose. But that's not the purpose we find in Holy Scripture. That's not the purpose that we see that Moses lived and handed down to Joshua. We are a people who are given a legacy by the people who came before us to continue to be the active, loving, living, growing, even changing sometimes, people of God in our church, but in our homes and in our neighborhood and in our workplaces and everywhere that we go from here. You see, the question is not, is the next generation getting it or not? Are they good or not? Are they going to do it the way that we did it or not? The question is, are we leaving a legacy that others find worth living? Are we leaving a legacy that others find worth living? I've heard a quote that says, if you think you're a leader and you look around and nobody's following you, you're not really a leader. If we have a legacy worth passing down, we're going to be walking with others. We're going to be bringing them along. Now, Joshua has some big shoes to fill, and so do we. By the people, and so will the people who come after us. My question to leave us with as we get ready to start looking at the life of Joshua as we move forward from here, my question is, who have you invested in while living your legacy? Who have you invested in while living your legacy? Because they don't just naturally pick it up because you put it down. They pick it up because you invited them into living it with you and handed it off piece by piece and bit by bit. And one day, somebody will continue and they will say, they had their hands on me. and we will go into the promised land. Now, if you want to get ready for the coming weeks, you can begin to read the book of Joshua. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Joshua, the book, is rated PG-13 or worse or better, however you look at that, right? So get ready to do some fun reading together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we are grateful that you have invited us into this legacy of faith, of being your people, building your kingdom in this world and the world to come. We are grateful for the people who have walked ahead of us in our families and in our faith life and in our church. And Lord, you know we want to honor them as we seek to preserve what they gave us. Lord, help us to see that what they really gave us was a legacy of living your purpose no matter what, of being your people no matter what, and putting your kingdom ahead of whatever it is that we want. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.